get on the train.
Wait a minute.
Hit it.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast. Let's get going out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of the world. Welcome on in, back again, once again, to the Sports Buffoon Studios here out of Lenexa, Kansas. We got the full crew with us, finally. It's only been a few weeks, of course, so we've missed each other, but it's good to all be back in the same room together. JG, you've been out of action for a little while, out on a nice little trip. Tanner Dawson, you've been up to no good, and I've just been chilling. So how you guys doing?
I'm great. Great. You didn't say the correct words, like the normal, you know, the TV shows that come into play.
The what? Sports Buffoons filmed in a live studio.
Ooh, I didn't audience. No, I was supposed to have like a sexy voice whenever I do the intro.
You're
but
supposed to.
I mean, we are just three guys sitting in a room together, but whatever floats your boat. Maybe I can remember that for next time, I suppose. JG, do you have some sexy time yourself this weekend on a little trip?
I had a great time in Vegas. The worst part about my trip to Las Vegas and Lake Tahoe is the fact that I had to anticipate coming back to you two buffoons and being back in this fucking table and sitting here looking at the two of you with my basically a finger shoved up my ass. So
wow.
That I was pissed off when I had to think about that. But here I am. I had to take one for the team and I showed up.
Now, so we told the people you were going to be in Vegas and then Tahoe. So I'm surprised to hear the best thing you had when you got back was just a finger up your ass. So
yeah, I was pissed. I didn't want to come back. You know, every time you go to Vegas, you know, I hear all these people say like, oh, I was ready to be done with that after 24 hours or 48 hours. That's bullshit. All you fuckers are lying. You wanted to stay there forever, which is exactly what I wanted to do. But maybe next time.
So. Gotcha. Well, Tanner, we did get to check out camp last week, so we had a little fun with that for a bit.
Got to be in
the
suite.
So we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But otherwise, any other good news that's come up lately?
Good news that's come up lately. It is August, guys, so that means fantasy football drafts are on its way, full force. And I'm doing 30 days of fantasy football at after dark. Fantasy football after dark. Catch me between the 9 and 11 p.m. hours. On here on Sports Buffoons, let's talk sports as well. So I started last night. You know, I was on till 1:30 because I had a late recording with the Rec Room guys. So we're not doing that tonight. We'll be done before midnight for sure. So
well, it's just like last year, Tanner, because you do this thing where you sit alone in a dark room and you just film yourself doing mock drafts.
we
just see your face in a screen, but. You know, we don't really know what all is going on, you staying up that late, drinking some beers.
He's in a dark room. That means he has a hard-on for Aaron Rodgers.
This sounds like something you would have done on Chat Roulette back in the day. Those were some good old days right there. Chat Roulette sitting in a dark room with a screen going.
Soft Tom, hard Tom.
That's something we'll stay for a different day, different topic. And no one was harmed in the filming of that's hard Tom, soft Tom. That's an inside joke right there. So
thing
those listening hopefully do not know about that.
That's good. Stuff.
Guys, first of all, foremost, I want to talk about a little fantasy football with you guys for a bit. Of course, we're going to talk about some thoughts on the upcoming NFL season, some cool predictions we got betting wise. You know, of course, here in the state of Kansas, we have legalized sports betting. And we will give our picks on some division winners, some good odds and stuff like that. The first thing I want to talk about is the old faces in new places right now in the NFL and how that's going to reflect when you're looking at designing your fantasy team. Now, obviously, you know, across the board, you're always interested in the guys who've been sustained success in one system within one team over the course of multiple years. Those are the most reliable guys. But the guys that have been shuffled around a little bit over the course of the offseason are the ones that you want to really dive into and figure out how does this player fit into this system. We saw an example of Chase Edmonds last year going over to the Miami Dolphins, and that did not work out at all. I mean, he could not understand the system. It's almost like he forgot to play running back coming from over the Arizona Cardinals, and that didn't work out. I mean, some people thought highly of him, and that just wasn't the way to go about it. We got a few guys we're going to talk about that we actually think are going to improve with their new team. And someone that's willing to take a stab at. So, JG, I want to see who you got first on your list.
So, first guy I want to talk about is a guy that was a slightly above average quarterback in the AFC West last year. guy by the name of Derek Carr. He has moved over to the Saints. And main reason why I like his situation right now is because it makes a difference when you go from the AFC to the NFC as a mediocre quarterback, whatever you think he was. I think he was slightly above average in the AFC. But when you move to the NFC as slightly above average, that makes you a potential star quarterback. When you move to a shitty conference, which is what I basically think of as the NFC. So Derek Carr on the Saints is a perfect fit. He's going to be thrown to Chris Olave, who had 72 receptions, 1,042 yards last year. Probably going to have a lot better numbers if you're looking at a guy like Chris Olave this year. Also got Michael Thomas is not what he used to be, right? But he has 7.2 receptions per game for his career, which is basically, you know, if you just take that one number, he's the greatest wide receiver in the history of the game. And so while he's not what he used to be, I do believe in Derek Carr throwing to Chris Olave, Michael Thomas. Derek Carr, you're looking at an ADP of 138. And so I'd be perfectly fine if I had Derek Carr as my starter this year in fantasy. Certainly if you had like a two quarterback league, that's the guy that I'm going to be targeting here. And that's the perfect fit for the New Orleans Saints.
I like the Derek Carr pick. Absolutely. Because I mean, I think he's in a great situation also with a division that's not great itself.
Yep.
And so you're in a position where you can go beat up on some of those lesser teams with weaker defenses compared to some of the things he had to deal with, you know, working out at Oakland or Las Vegas or LA, you know, all the different cities he played in over the course of his time so far. I think that he's in a stable condition at this point with the Saints, and we're going to see a huge rise out of him. As far as the greatest receiver of all time comment, I don't even know if I'd go there. I mean, you already know your favorite of all time is Antonio Brown. There's no way Michael Thomas is better than Antonio Brown.
Yeah, that's true. I would definitely take Antonio Brown.
Just taking
Antonio Brown. You know, it's just one number, man. It's just a number.
I got you. Tanner, I should have asked you, but before you dive in, what are you sipping on real quick? I figured you should get a shout out to.
Yeah.
To some IPA you got.
So our live studio audience came in with it's like, hey, you want to try a beer? Here's a beer that I grew up, you know, I was living across from. Maui Brewing Company, Big Swell IPA. It's a 6.8 beer as well percent. It's actually really good, really smooth.
Apparently they don't sell it out here in Kansas or Missouri. You got to be in
Texas, right?
Texas and maybe a couple other states
probably
might have
it. West Coast, Texas and West.
Yeah, you know, I would assume it's distributed out there.
It's pretty good. By the way, real quick on this Derek Carr thing, 20th rank on PPR under Fantasy Pros for ranked and just quarterbacks there. I love it because it's a great steal late. That, you know, if you miss out on Mahomes, you miss out on Burrow, you miss out, you know, a few other guys around that range, you can get that Derek Carr steal. You know, even as a backup, it's solid there. So do love that Derek Carr pick.
All right, what you got?
What do I got? Of course, it's the guy I've talked about before on this show here. Cleveland Browns, Elijah Moore, coming from the Jets over to the Browns. We have Deshaun Watson. Yes, I know we're all questioning him still. I think this guy still has it. Deshaun does. I'm being a legit quarterback, an absolute elite quarterback here. I have very high hopes for him this year. But if you look at here, Elijah Moore, that kid is skilled. He's talented. We saw it on the Jets at times where he can be, he can be a big receiver. He can be an elite receiver as well with his talent here. And, you know, just the way that things meshed in New York did not help things here. Going, you know, now you're behind Amari Cooper, who is kind of battling a little bit of injury there. But Donovan Peoples-Jones isn't much of a threat, I don't think, for this team. He's going to be more of a slot guy. Cedric Tillman, he's a guy to watch. I think he moves in the slot. But let me Elijah Moore. You know, it's a big receiver here. We look at him, not big, but 5'10", really quick guy. His ECR right now is 105. His best worst here, 66, 155, ADP of 114. You know, this is a guy that's going to make a splash here, Deshaun. Deshaun's going to be looking for a target outside of Cooper, outside of Donovan Peoples-Jones to really build upon. Elijah Moore was a steal for this team in Cleveland here, looking to make a splash. And I think Deshaun Watson, who is, you know, in Houston, he was elite, right? I think this guy coming with the full offseason, now it doesn't have to miss any games for suspension like he did last year. He's going to be consistently going, getting that momentum going into the regular season here. Elijah Moore is going to be one of his top targets. So, I mean, you're out without Kareem Hunt, David Njoku. You know, we'll have to see exactly how that meshes as well. I think Elijah Moore is at least your third target on this team.
I hope you're right about that, just for the sake of his career. I mean, we've talked about Elijah Moore in the past with the Jets, mm-hmm. and he kind of became the odd man out, you know, after the additions, and Aaron Rodgers basically got to pick and choose who he wants on his roster. You know, they had the additions of Mecole Hardman, Alan Lazard, of course, Garrett Wilson over there. I mean, there's a lot of talent at wide receiver for the Jets.
Yes.
And he just kind of got forced out. But then again, now he's in a position where he's going to get a lot of playing time with the Browns. So there's no reason to me that he shouldn't have a good season. So I'm hoping we can finally see the actual numbers we expected out of him the last couple of years. So I like that one quite a bit too. Mine is, I'm not trying to be a homer, you guys. I'm trying to be honest with you about fantasy here. And my guy was the Giants' number one receiver last season. That is Richie James. His current Chiefs wide receiver, Richie James, led the team last year in catches as well as touchdowns receiving. So he only had four, but, you know, when you're on the Giants, four is better than the rest of them, I guess. Right. But this is a guy also that came from the 49ers originally and was thought pretty highly of. I mean, they liked him over there quite a bit. Very explosive in a lot of ways. Used as a punt returner. Maybe he'll make plays at open field as a slot receiver. With the Giants, he was actually used quite a bit over the middle, even on the deep digs and the slant routes, stuff like that. And he's a guy that I think is going to be a veteran presence on a very young receiving group here in Kansas City. So I think that's going to be what stands out, because we're talking about Andy Reid and what we've always seen him over the course of his career coaching wise is that typically your young rookie receivers are not the ones to put up the big numbers. It's more your veterans, the guys that have been around for a little while that understand the game a little more. And as long as he's coming in right now and getting in with the offense and getting trust from Mahomes, then Richie James has no reason right now not to add on more. He had 57 catches last year, yes, from Daniel Jones. So put him here in Kansas City, give him full-time playing time with an injured Kadarius Toney, maybe even. You know, we know that this might not be the only injury he has this season that he currently has with the surgery on the knee. So to me, Richie James makes a lot of sense to be a guy that's going to go out and get you 70 to 75 catches, you know, somewhere around the 800-yard range, probably five or six touchdowns. And that's just kind of your baseline. So I would assume he's going to be a guy that's going to be pretty productive in Kansas City. So you can get him for cheap too.
You can. 96 in the wide receiver rankings for PPR here. And I mean, you're looking at guys around him like Josh Reynolds, Marvin Jones Jr., Khalil Shakir, Matt Collins, Sterling Shepard, and Kendrick Bourne. This, I mean, you can get this guy. You can wait. You can sit there. You might even be able to get him after the draft on a lot of leagues.
And he's better value than a lot of those guys you just named right there. So I like him, yes, quite a bit over the others.
Marvin Mims Jr. is on that edge of the tier here. And I think he, due to the fact of the injuries of Tim Patrick and Hamler now gone, I think Marvin Mims is probably, you'll probably take him up ahead a little bit more than 92 at where he's at. But Richie James Jr., love that pick. It's such a steal. Like I said, you could probably grab him on most times outside of your draft. So
there you go. JG, you got another one?
I do have one more. This one's going to surprise you guys a little bit, because as you know, the JG hates in fantasy football, the one thing I hate more than anything is injured bums.
It's true.
But the next guy I'm going to bring up is a guy by the name of Rashad Penny. And while I do hate guys that are injured as much as he is, I like the upside here. His ADP is 104 in standard, 124 in PPR. The guy averaged 6.0 yards per carry for the last 2 years. And he's going to be playing behind that elite offensive line on the Eagles. He piles on yards after contact. So that's a guy that I'm going to take a chance on this year. In terms of old faces, new places, I'm going to go with Rashad Penny here.
Number 37 in the running back rankings for PPR here. You know, you're looking at guys around him such as Samaje Perine, Khalil Herbert, Brian Robinson Jr., Dalvin Cook, Damien Harris, Jamal Williams, Jerick McKinnon, and Zach Charbonnet. So
where's Dalvin Cook at?
It's he's 33 still.
That's
right behind so AJ weird. Dillon and Antonio Gibson.
Yeah, that's really surprising. I don't know what to think of that one.
It is really weird still.
Yeah, that's strange.
But there's so much hope still, I think, there for it. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's gonna get signed here pretty soon and all that. But I mean, to me, it's like Dalvin Cook's still really productive running back. So I mean, at the moment, if you're drafting like this week, you got to be thinking, you got to reach for him.
You know he's going to sign, and I think that's just what it is, though. It's you're just waiting to see where he goes.
Yeah, I like the Rashad Penny pick. I mean, it makes sense to me. If the guy can be on the field, he's got great upside, great value, but you don't want to overreach for this kind of guy just because of the injury history. It's not going to be worth it to be spending, you know, to me, a fifth or sixth round pick on this kind of guy. It's something you want to get a little bit later than that.
So you did mention reaching on Dalvin Cook. How high would you reach on him?
As of right now? Oh, shoot. Man. I mean, his ADP, you said, was, or he's listed as 33.
He's 33 in the running back ranks. I mean, I would probably put him more in the 25 range.
He's more 20. Of a, I don't know.
Top man. 20.
I mean, you got to understand, he's at least third round
production. What round would you take him in?
I don't think it'd be a mistake to go for or third or fourth round for him.
I was going to say fourth.
You got to understand what he's capable of. Dude, it's not like his career's over. He's washed up. It's not the case. So, I mean, to me, it's like it might be sitting right now as RB 33, but his upside production is way beyond that. So,
I mean, if you're drafting right now, I think he's dropping to the fifth round. Is he not?
He should
snatch him up at that point.
My best ball.
See, I would just get him a little bit before that.
I want to say my best ball draft last night did a 12 man in that. And I think I'm pretty sure Dalvin was still there in the fifth round. I think he ended up going shortly after that. So he is dropping down. It could be a steal going to that. By the way, so Rashad Penny real quick here, looking at the games played. For when he was Seattle here, last going from recent till past 2020, 2018, 5, 10, 3, 10, 14. It's kind of similar to what DeAndre Swift here is the injury history. I don't mind it. I'm not reaching, but I don't mind the Rashad Penny deal because you're going to look at this Philadelphia, the way they use the running backs, it's not committee, but they use them so much in all of them, right? Gainwell, Scott, and you got Swift out there too. Or it could help some of these injured guys, such as Rashad Penny, such as DeAndre Swift, continuing to get their reps and be consistent within this offense that can play more than 10 games, right? And I think that's what we're looking for is how do they use them? How do they use each back? Having at least a Penny and a Swift is good confidence going into the season, our regular season here. But knowing that you have a Gainwell and a Scott there that they can mix in as well, that can do pretty much the same thing, just at a less impact there. But having to be able to fill those guys in, this Philadelphia running game will, you know, I think I'm good with it. I'm not reaching too far into the Penny slot, but I do like that, you know, Rashad Penny as a new face, new place, or old face, new place.
Mm-hmm. I got one more and then I'll jump over to you, Tanner.
Yeah.
My quick one right now, it's kind of an obvious one, I think, in a lot of ways, is Calvin Ridley. And now it's kind of cheating by saying this, but I mean, he came obviously from Atlanta in 2021. The Jaguars ended up trading for him, and they've been kind of sitting on him basically in a lot of ways. Calvin Ridley has got a refound love for the game. He's talked about that in press conferences, and obviously he was very unhappy in Atlanta. And I don't blame him. I mean, the structure of that organization at that time was probably not a fun place to be in. But, you know, now you have a great coach in Doug Peterson. You have a great quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. Your structure of your offense, I mean, has capabilities to be in the, you know, top seven if things go well. And to me, Calvin Ridley is a guy who's shown us in the past. I mean, he's got big numbers. He's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. Could catch 10 touchdowns again. He's done that before. So I would expect Calvin Ridley to be absolutely somebody you should be going after in your draft as a old face and new place.
What's your thoughts, Jason? You like that?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
you're good with it?
Yeah. I picked him up on my team last year because we do keepers. And so I was just like, yeah, I'll take him for my last round pick.
Yeah, and now you're set, right? So now you're starting strong there. Calvin Ridley, 18th ranked in the wide receiver ranks. Four guys going ahead of him currently. Cooper, DK Metcalf, Keenan Allen, and T. Higgins. Four guys after Calvin Ridley, Chris Godwin, Deebo Samuel, DeAndre Hopkins, and Drake London.
I think Ridley is probably right where he should be right now.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a guy that hasn't played in a couple of years. Obviously he's going to come in and be kind of expected to be the WR1 over there, but still young enough. And I think he's probably right where he should be in the ranking.
He's already injured too, by the way, like he stubbed his toe on a rock or some shit.
Yeah, he has a hurt toe related to cleats. So that's what it is. Toe injury related cleats.
Yeah, better than a broken dick. So
we got our man, Carlos, the bad New Yorker in here. He goes, Philly key is how much can Brown help them? That's a huge contract type of Rashad Penny there. Carlos also says we should see a big downfield plays from Hurts. Can Hurts toss the rock? Yeah, he can toss the rock. Kneecap Bynum with the Detroit Lions. What? Is that a name change, Jeremy? What's up, Jeremy?
Kneecap Bynum.
Well, Kneecap Bynum is what it's always Kneecap Bynum with Smoking Jeremy B.
Uh-huh.
But now he has it with the Detroit Lions, so that's why I ask.
Okay.
Matt New Yorker out here says Lawrence will be poo-poo this year. Okay. That's kind of odd comment, man. Jeremy says really tripped while placing a bet on FanDuel. I think he learned his lesson. I don't think he's seen it.
Maybe that one kid from Iowa State hadn't learned anything, though. I mean, he was out there wild. And now,
oh my, 26. I
26 bets on Iowa State games.
Yeah, his own team. 26 wow. freaking bets.
There was a, have you guys seen the video of him walking up at a bar? He's wasted out of his mind, placing a live bet with a woman. Right, and he tells her, "Don't tell anybody about this. It's illegal." That's what he says. There's a video out there. You should search it on Twitter.
This is awesome.
Not X, by the way. It's called Twitter. Damn it.
That's fair. That's fair. Right,
he was pretty dumb. I just wonder if it's possible to get it like a burner phone, a la Kevin Durant, to do all of your burner tweets. I mean, can you do that in gambling, or is that not?
No,
a thing?
No, because they'll track you. You have to. I mean,
you got to claim on your taxes and stuff.
Yeah, track you on burner.
You
got to
put your license in.
You know, all that crazy stuff. So I'm sure they report that to the.
Yeah, so it don't matter what you do. Oh, yeah.
So you literally have to find another person and just
you can't even do that. Can't even do that.
I bet there's loopholes.
Well, you could do it.
No, but people are getting caught that way too because sure. you're putting like a guy goes from making $10 a bet a day in the same city or with or something knowledgeable that you know they know each other.
How did
all of a sudden making $500 bets out of nowhere to $1,000?
How did Pete Rose get caught? Because that was way before all this like. They made it more complicated, technology, you know, technology like, oh, and all that. So I'm curious, remember, like, though, exactly. Like, who ratted on Pete Rose? What a bastard.
I know, right? That's how it goes. I knew Jamo working out with Ridley was a bad idea. Oh, Jameson, I got you. All right, guys, I got a very unpopular opinion, but I believe in this opinion here, as I always like to go against the grain here. Dalton Schultz, new old face, new place, former Dallas Cowboy here. Coming into the Houston Texans with a brand new quarterback, as you know, there with CJ Stroud. Look, their receiving core is very questionable. Nico Collins, he had trash time last year, right? John Mechie, we don't know what he's like after his cancer deal. Robert Woods, we all know, was washed. Xavier Hutchinson, sixth round pick. I don't know if he's going to do anything. Noah Brown, Tank Dell, I think, is the only help you have in the receiving ranks. Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary would probably be your one and two targets. Believe it or not, for CJ Stroud, if it comes to it, outside of your Nico Collins here. But I think Dalton Schultz is going to be your lifesaver, your guy that CJ Stroud is going to have to defer to. I think he's going to be a red zone guy, as we kind of saw in Dallas there emerge eventually.
You got to get to the red zone before you can be a red zone guy, Tanner.
Houston's going to be a little better here. I think they have a little bit more chance to push down the field with some playmaking here. So Dalton Schultz here. ADP of 118, draft rank ECR of 136, coming into play. You know, he's healthy. He plays most of the games. Most he's missed was, what is that, six games in 2018 there. So he played 11 games there. He missed three games last year. So this is a guy that's been effective, slowly building upon. I think he's going to be a big key for this Houston team who's trying to make a push for third or second place this year in that division. So give me Dalton Schultz as a old face, new place.
I'll let you take him, Tanner. You can have him all day. You go get your Dalton Schultz. I'll sit back. I'll grab me one of these awesome rookies that are up and coming and be happy with that.
It depends instead. Where, like, if we're in the like 13th round, 12th round.
Was he going to be your backup tight end at that point?
I got somebody else pretty special.
So. I don't mind it too much just because we don't advocate on this show for taking tight ends early. So, yeah, if you want to throw a Dalton Schultz in there, a little bit later in your draft, I mean, then nobody knows what the fuck that fucking Houston offense is going to do this year.
It's kind of scary. Yeah.
I thought that they were going to be decent last year, and that sure as fuck didn't happen. So, yeah, if you fucking throw Dalton Schultz in there, be my guest, man. You know, it's not a bad
decent
pick.
Last year.
It's not a bad pick. I mean, you know, if you can get him in the 12th round, by all means, let's just see what happens.
Dalton Schultz here. I was looking for him. He's way down there, isn't he?
Probably where he should be.
You're probably right. Oh, there he is. 11th ranked in tight ends. David Njoku, Evan Engram, Pat Freiermuth is the top three ahead of him. Greg Dulcich, Okwonkwo, and Tyler Higbee are your three behind him. So,
all right. I guess that's fair enough, I suppose. It's probably around the area he should probably be in.
But he's also in that dead zone, right, of don't draft a tight end during this dead zone. So, and we all know about that, right?
Yeah. All right, guys, let's go ahead and
he's hurting camp too. Yeah.
let's jump over real quick to a little Chiefs talk for a few minutes, just because, as you guys know, I said at the beginning of the show, Tanner and I went out to training camp last Saturday. We're going to be up there again this Saturday. Last time we got stuck in a monsoon, so we had to be kicked out of our suite. I know, Sports Buffoons have a damn suite. How awesome was that? But you know, not for long. We got to see some good stuff in practice. We enjoyed the amount we got to watch, which was a little over an hour. And really what we probably picked out the most to watch was the receivers. And we wanted to see kind of these young guys and how they were going to look. And we wanted to see the Rashee Rice and Justin Ross and just how Sky Moore might be evolving a little bit in the offense. And just who's standing out right now. And I think the first thing I saw when we were walking up was just kind of the height and size of Justin Ross stood out to me right away. And that's like, I'm just looking at him going, that's the kind of guy you want to be throwing a ball to, especially if you're Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes had an interview this offseason talking about his all-time favorite receiver he could throw to if they were still around. He picked Randy Moss. Randy Moss would have been his number one receiver he could have thrown a ball to. Justin Ross has similar size, of course. I'm not at all saying he's going to be Randy Moss. Calm down. But he likes a big-bodied receiver. I think he likes having those kind of guys. And, you know, it's actually a similar body type as Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but with different ball skills. And I think that's what Justin Ross is going to bring to this team is, first of all, I think he's going to make the team. Correct. I'm going to put that out there. Correct. What we've seen in camp so far has been nothing but good play from him, showing up every day, making plays, making contested catches, and getting open.
Well, we saw, I don't know if you guys heard, Nazi Johnson before his injury. I mean, he was starting it. Like, he was killing in camp, right? And then every time I saw Nazi go against Ross, Ross had his number completely. Like, it was just a different animal going against him. Nazi had some really great plays there in that. So, but yeah, I'd say Ross, impressive. By the way, I didn't buy the hype going into last year into the camp here as well. I was like, nah, I don't know, man. After last weekend, I'm kind of buying the hype. Hunter, I remember you, dude. Make sure, hey, I'm doing my fantasy stuff again, so check me out afterwards, dude.
Yeah, the other one I think that impressed us a little bit, Tanner, was just watching Rashee Rice. He hasn't made a mistake yet in camp. I mean, the guy catches everything. I mean, we saw him on a little end around in camp, making a nice long 50-yard run. He's getting open, and Mahomes is building trust with him. And guys have had nothing but good things to say about him.
And he's adapting really well. He's doing the back shoulder catches, and they're doing the fades as well, which is something we see them do in practice and training camp, but we never see it in the game because they don't have the right receivers. Like, we thought Josh Gordon was gonna be that guy a few years ago. Well, we all know how that turned out. Justin Ross coming in here, I think he's legit, could be a fade kind of guy.
Well, it fits his skill set too, because you got to remember here last year at college, he led all of college in catches and receiving yards as well. And so coming into the situation, he was always kind of a contested ball type of receiver. So using him on fade routes is probably going to be the way to go, and a 41-inch vertical jump. Mm-hmm. So add that to the mix, and you're going to be putting him in a great position to be catching some touchdowns. I think his over-under right now in touchdowns this season is like 2.5. So you got to hammer the over on that if you're a sports bettor.
If it allows you to bet it, bet it.
Oh, yeah, you got to be hitting that one hard big time. Anyone else to stand it out? We saw some Sky Moore getting open. I thought he looked like he's improving.
I think his improving. Route running is a little tighter is what, yeah. Like, you know, like it's something we were hoping for Mecole for 4 years, right? It's seeing the route running, seeing getting open, hitting the cuts like he should. We never really saw that from Mecole at all throughout his three, four years, whatever it was.
Yeah. Sky Moore, just a straight line runner. Mecole just didn't have the hips to be able to get low and sink on your cuts.
And it looks like Sky Moore really worked on stuff. He looks good. His technique looks good. And he connects really well. His hands are looking great this year, especially working out with Mahomes there. So Sky Moore, I'm nothing but impressed. I think Rashee Rice is our next guy to talk about. You know, we talked about Justin Ross looking like a receiver. Rashee Rice looks like a receiver, guys. Big body, you know, looking like a big body out there. He's making great plays. He's also working on the end around as well. I love me some Rashee Rice right now.
Yeah, I mean, he looks the part, and he's kind of built like he's got some thick legs. He's kind of built like just a really big running back in a lot of ways. So I'll be curious to see how he's used after the catch. I think he's going to be just a major contributor for Rashee Rice this year. Because, I mean, someone's got to step up. This receiving group, in a lot of ways, is kind of a mixed bag. Someone is going to get above the rest, and someone's going to stand out. We're not quite sure who that's going to be yet, but tell you right now, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has never had a year over 700 yards receiving. No. And so we're looking at this roster going, okay, someone's going to replace what Juju Smith-Schuster did. And is it going to be one of these young dudes? Is it going to be Justin Ross? Is it going to be Rashee Rice right out the gate, pulling off a Dwayne Bowe type rookie season? Or is it going to be Sky Moore, you know, making all these underneath catches and getting open that way? But someone's going to be the one doing it. It's just a matter of who's going to stand out and make the plays, because As we know, Kadarius Toney is going to miss some time over the course of the year. Yep. I don't care if we can try to be hopeful and say he's, you know, got his knee cleaned up and he's going to be good all year. We cannot put any faith in that. He's never done that in his career. So we have to be willing to look at the rest of the roster and say who's going to step up.
Yeah,
so.
Dave out here says there are receivers on this team that can grab contested balls unlike prior years. It's been a while. It has been a while. Yep. It really, I mean, we've been going fast, right, instead of big body lately. Sure. And now we got a couple big body guys coming to play. By the way, Amir Smith-Marset, I think, is also a little bit of a standout lately as well. I know Mahomes liked him last year, having him. So that's a guy that, pending injuries, sneak his way in.
I think it's going to be hard for him to make the roster just because of, I think, that the team likes Justin Watson quite a bit still.
Yes.
He's a guy that I think Mahomes trusts in a lot of situations and can play a little bit of a variety of roles within the team and also a veteran. I mean, that's a guy that I think is just good to have on the roster. I don't know if he's going to make it because I want these other younger guys to make it instead. But if he does make it, I'm pretty happy with that because there's just right now too many guys fighting. And that's the good thing is having this many young guys on a roster at the receiver position leaves a lot of room for guys to literally battle their way onto the team. And so preseason is going to tell us a lot.
Jason, what's your thoughts, dude?
I'm with you guys. I mean, I like the fact that Rashee Rice has shown his ability after the catch. But for me, it's all about Justin Ross to this point in time. He's got a great training camp so far. And according to Andy Reid, he's learning the offense fast. He's taking first team reps. He's only 23 years old, making spectacular catches. It's only training camp. But, you know, with the fact that we talked about Kadarius Toney being out, I don't trust that he's going to be there. And so there we've got targets up for grabs. And I like, why wouldn't it be Justin Ross? I have high hopes for the guy.
And one thing's for sure is you're not going to be able to sneak him onto a practice squad. At this point, the jig is up and everyone's aware of what kind of the talent this guy has. You're making the roster because you're not risking, if you're the Chiefs, letting that guy go, especially when we got him for free. He was an undrafted free agent who wanted to come to Kansas City and make an impact. And, you know, here he is now. And, you know, at this point, it's all up to him to make the plays necessary, I guess. And also stay healthy, of course. I mean, that's the main issue with Justin Ross in the past. So anything else you remember last week, Tanner? I know it's been a few days and we've had all the reports, but what else stood out at camp?
Well, I'm going to dive away from the wide receivers here. Kind of watching the defensive side of things on the drills and that line, a D line. And man, it's definitely missing some Chris Jones. It is definitely not the same push when they were doing their 7-on-7s, not the same push. I mean, they were just getting torn up up front as well. And it's you're just missing that impact, missing that leader there on that. So they weren't doing, I mean, it's not horrible or anything, but you could really tell the difference of, you know, we've seen what Chris Jones is there and when he's not. So that was a little concerning on my side.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to see a little more in we didn't get to see a scrimmage that day. So we missed out on a lot of the live drills and live physical contact in a lot of ways. I wanted to see more from the linebackers because I mean, I'm excited to see the progression and growth of Leo Chenal. And Drew Tranquil was not practicing this day. He had a neck injury. I think he's back at practice now. So they were just kind of being precautionary that day. So I think those are two guys I just want to see step up and what kind of impact they can make on the team. But I agree. Watching the D-line against the Chiefs O-line and some of the running drills that they were working on, it was pretty obvious who was better. It was pretty obvious that D-line was just getting kind of knocked off the ball, and it was the linebackers in the middle there kind of cleaning up things.
Yep.
So
Dave out here says, smiling, thinking about Andy game planning for games with his new toys. His wizard offensive mind is giddy. Him and Nagy, I tell you what, Nagy's like, oh, I finally got my hands on.
Yeah, people all the time are always wondering every year, is like, when's Andy Reid going to retire? When's he going to retire? And, you know, Clark Hunt talked about it before training camp, and he's just like, I've had no indication Andy Reid is going to retire. And, like, I've told people, too, I'm like, why would he? This is right now the most fun he's ever had coaching. He's also got the best quarterback he's ever had that, you know, anyone could be lucky to ever work with. Why would you want to give that up when this is your life? You live, eat, and breathe football like Andy Reid does. And why would you ever want to leave that at this point? Especially if, as long as your mental's there, like as long as you're sharp,
feel good, and your mind's right,
feel good enough to do it, then do. Why would you stop?
Yeah,
I mean, hell,
it helps them stay young.
Andy Reid's probably got, I mean, in my mind, I bet he's got a minimum 3 to 4 years left. But I think he's going to go as long as he can.
I believe so. Here, Ryan Larrison, the guy at Triple FTP on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. As well as yards per fantasy and Roto Baller right here, says still feel that McKinnon is going to catch a ton of balls. Was so good last year, and then wide receiver corps is interesting to say the least, as you guys alluded to. What do you think about the McKinnon situation?
No, I mean, why would it really skip much of a beat? Yeah, he's getting a little older, obviously. Obviously, we know about Denerick Prince coming along and his production so far in training camp. Someone who is probably going to get a little bit of playing time this year. I mean, but
he was in multiple sets as well with other running backs.
Yes, but at the end of the day, Jerick McKinnon still has a role in this offense that is very trusted. And I see no reason why he shouldn't still be making an impact on this team, other than maybe if you want to get Pacheco more touches in the receiving game, which we know he can do, because we heard all about it last training camp. We just didn't see it happen a lot because the third down back was McKinnon this whole last year, the last year before that too.
Yeah.
So at this point, I don't see any reason why he would really fall off other than just age.
Well, I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like McKinnon last year didn't really pick up until like after week five. Does that feel right?
Sure. I mean, he went on kind of a streak of catching touchdowns all of a sudden.
San Francisco game, yeah. I think it was, and all.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty accurate. But at the same time, he's had this role now for a couple of years on the roster. So the receiving factor is nothing new. It's more of they were scheming him open in the red zone more than before, rather than just in the typical like screen game.
Gotcha. Let's see here. Mr. Mad New Yorker says, Chris Jones got a thing for cash. Pay the man. I agree. Pay the man.
Yeah, we got to do it. I don't know what you think, Jason, as far as Chris Jones. I mean, the situation at hand, he's now up to $500,000 worth of fines. Obviously, he's probably assuming the team's going to end up paying him back that money anyway, so it's no big deal to his pocketbook. But, I mean, this guy needs to be on the roster. We have to have him. We have to have him and going forward. I mean, yeah, he's under contract, but, I mean, you also don't want him to be disgruntled all season either.
Yeah, the Chris Jones thing is just kind of weird because every time like they talk about it in the national media, it's just like it's nothing. It's nothing. And this thing is going to happen.
Sure.
So until I hear otherwise, I'm not really worried about it because it's kind of set in stone. It's not a matter of if, but when. But they are going to get the deal done.
Yeah. And Mahomes talked about he's texted with them, so they've had communication.
Yeah. Well, I guess what's your thoughts on that? He says he's not getting involved in it. He says, I just talk about football and how he's doing. So that's all.
Well, I mean, Pat wants Chris Jones to be here long term.
I think he understands it's a business, right? And the guy's trying to take care of himself.
No, absolutely. I totally understand. Same time, I understand this team also being weary of paying guys who are about to turn 30. Especially, you know, in the past, we've gotten kind of burnt on like a Justin Houston situation, you know, coming off of a huge 22 sack season. Justin Houston went on to have an awesome career, but you know, after his knees were basically done for, at least we thought, we felt like the contract we'd given him was a disaster at that point. You know, he was no longer the player he was when he put up those 22 sacks. And I think in the Chiefs' mind, that's in the back of their mind, is that we got to be careful with this going forward. At the same time, you're a D tackle. D tackles can be really productive in going into their 30s. So, I mean, I give him at least another 4 years left of playing at a high level. To me, it's worth it because we need him on the D line. We need his versatility.
Put him on the D line. That's what I say.
Need it. So anyways, that's pretty much my thoughts from the other day. I want to get more this coming weekend.
I was going to ask you guys, cause you're going with us this time, Jason, is there any particular player that maybe we didn't see or pay attention to this time, or maybe that you're looking forward to that you really want to highlight, like watching this guy this weekend?
Nobody in particular.
Just want to see how it goes.
Yeah, I guess.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to watch a little more of the secondary this coming weekend. I mean, I'm obviously really excited to watch Brian Cook and his progression and becoming a starter for this team now. I loved him when we took him last year. Awesome, awesome player. So I want to see how he improves and just kind of see how he's working into the defense a little bit and the way they're using some of their three safety sets, you know, which we're well known for. So, probably just looking a little more at the secondary. And how they align now that we know Nazi Johnson's out for the season. We saw him work with the first team. Who's going to then kind of step into that role that he had earned up to this point, kind of replace that? I mean, I think we have a good group right now, regardless of the situation.
Offensive line for me right now, actually, because I don't know if you guys go to look at depth charts, but Orlats here has left tackle as Donovan Smith and right tackle as Jawan Taylor here. I exactly want to see where these guys are lining up at, what packages they're in. Especially Jawan Taylor. I want to know exactly, you know, is he mainly working right side, left side? I haven't really paid attention to that. So that's going to be something I'm going to highlight this weekend of make sure I watch a little bit more of what's going on that O-line and the way that left tackle and right tackle are looking.
Yeah, especially against some young pass rushers. I mean, mm-hmm. We're going to see a little more Felix. We're going to see how George is progressing. So
Wanya Morris, too. I want to see exactly how he's looking.
Yeah, hopefully, because that's the thing. When that scrimmage we ended up missing out on, what is going to tell us a lot as far as all those things. We can go back and kind of keep an eye on that, because we do try to get cell phone footage while we're out there, but hopefully it goes as smooth as it did last week with that.
I'll post a little bit of shorts in this Buffoons channel, guys, so pay attention here. Check out our shorts page as well. So
that's right. All right, guys, I got another quick topic for you guys real quick. JG, you wanted to do a little gambling, of course. I mean, I know you've had some withdrawals lately from being out of town. I know you were in Vegas, but you were doing family time. Then you were in Tahoe. So, you know, you being the gambling guy, you wanted to know a little bit about our division thoughts. What's that?
I just want to know what you guys' thoughts are in terms of the odds. I want to know what you think the best odds are in terms of teams winning the division this year. And I want to start off with the AFC East, because that seems like it's been a hot topic during the offseason. I like the Dolphins at +300. And I just don't trust the Buffalo Bills. I feel like they've got some sort of a curse on them since, you know, losing the Super Bowl four times in a row, and they just can't seem to get over the hump versus the Chiefs or the Bengals. Bills are +120. Jets are +270. I really like the Dolphins here at +300 to win the AFC East.
Interesting.
Gotcha. Yeah, I don't blame it. So you're going Dolphins over Jets?
Yeah. Even? No, yeah, I like the odds here. Like
+400 or as
plus 300.
+300 for the Dolphins. Okay. What was the Jets at? Do you have that by chance?
+270.
+270,
yep.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. I mean, that's
honestly either one of those versus the Bills, I would take either one of those.
I would too, yeah.
Okay. At this point, it's a tough division. I mean, it had to be at some point, because the Patriots ruled that thing for so damn long and the rest of those teams were pretty crappy. And now it's a really solid division. It's a lot of good teams. So yeah, I could see that all happening right there. You have anything for that one, Tim?
No, I'm kind of with him there. It's going to be between the Jets and the Dolphins. I probably lean more Jets on my side, but, you know, Dolphins will be right there with it. So it just depends on healthy those guys are, how the health on that side of the situation.
Yeah, goes. Tua, I think Tua's got to hang on. I don't know if Skylar Thompson can be your guy going like and win the division with Skylar Thompson, especially.
Mike White out down there?
Mike White.
He has not looked pretty.
I mean, he did pretty well with the Jets. Yeah. So, I mean, his moments.
He was good his first start. And then after that, it kind of was a
I'm just saying the Dolphins are a really good roster. But, I mean, if they have one, two injury, then that bet would be done for. I don't know if I could bet that over Aaron Rodgers personally.
Yeah. So the other one I like is the Seahawks, NFC West at +195. Because the 49ers are -160, and they're kind of got some interesting things going on there at the quarterback position. They've got Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy. I mean, a lot of question marks at the quarterback position. So I really do like the Seahawks. They really loaded up after that trade when they traded away Russell Wilson. So +195 Seahawks. I do like that bet for the NFC West.
How do you say it? Jimba
and Jigba.
I can't do it.
And Jigba.
Jackson Jimba. Smith and Jigba.
Jimba.
He can't even say it, dude.
I think you did the N and then the B.
I was trying to do the J with it too. Like,
wait. Why don't we just stick with Tungavailoa first? Start with Tungavailoa.
Yeah.
Then once you get that down, then you can move on to the Njigba.
Yeah. No. What about him though? Obviously, we all like him. We liked him a lot.
We
like
him. Like he's going to be good out in camp currently.
He's going to be good. So it's going to be Geno Smith's favorite little target over there. I mean, it's going to be pretty badass. They got a lot of weapons over there without a doubt. So
they do.
Geno, you know, obviously had a revival of a career at this point, and so I hope he continues on that path. Just so I can, you know, officially say I was not wrong about Geno Smith back in 2013.
I mean, just talking about those two teams right now. Like, if you were Kyle Shanahan, would you not take Geno over the quarterbacks that you have right now on your roster? I mean,
probably not.
That would be pretty intriguing for me.
Well, I'd probably. I'm trying to think. It's Kyle Shanahan. If I'm Kyle Shanahan here,
it's kind of a tough one.
Brock Purdy just took me to the NFC Championship.
Purdy played really well.
Where I'm at, and not paying.
He's Geno great, Smith. But it just kind of like
I'm not paying Geno Smith.
You don't really know who the quarterback is going to be on that team, whereas on the Seahawks, you know exactly who it is.
It's Purdy. I hate to bring it to you. It's
I know it's pretty.
Trey Lance is not looking.
I'm just saying, like, it's
Trey Lance is a little rough, right?
It's not as clear cut as you think.
No, it is clear cut.
Like the 49ers, sure, like they'll probably be favored in the playoffs, but I could see Seattle pulling off that division.
I got one other. It's not an underdog by any means, you guys, but I just like this bet just because
it's how Mike goes, guys.
It's in the plus money, so that's what matters to me. We're at plus 120 on the odds right here. We got the New Orleans Saints for the NFC South, and I think that division is such dog shit.
It's actually plus 130 now.
Gotta jump
you
on.
You get that on FanDuel.
I'm absolutely going to take the Saints in this situation. I mean, you got a whole bunch of issues across that time. We don't know what Desmond Ridder is going to be yet. We don't know what kind of team that's going to look like. I still don't trust their defense. I don't care how they did better than I expected last year. The Panthers situation, I know I've heard some people think, oh, they're underdogs to go out there and win eight games. Like, nah, get the hell out of there with that crap. Get out of there with that crap. I don't want to hear anything about it.
Tampa Bay sucks.
Tampa Bay is the closest thing to maybe.
Have you guys seen the competition of Trask and Mayfield lately?
Mayfield has the job locked.
I want to see Mayfield win because I want to see another 30 for 30.
Oh,
I want to see 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions from Mayfield.
He's got the edge right now.
Some
so
of these
far
throws, dude.
He does have the edge.
They're competing for.
I obviously still cut. I like Mike Evans and I still like Chris Godwin. That's fine. Those guys are a pretty nice.
Mike Evans is washed. He's washed, man.
Dude, he put up 1,000 yards again last year, like every other year. So I mean,
but when you go from the quarterback that he's had at his age, and then you get this sudden downgrade, like that, career could be over. Not because of his age, but because of the quarterback situation.
And it's probably not going to be as good as usual, obviously. But
he's going to suck.
I'm without a doubt taking the Saints because I like the fact of Derek Carr being there now. And I like a little more stability within that offense, and the defense is coming along. So to me, the Saints make the most sense on that one. So I'm going to take them in a really bad division.
They feel in the Bucs to playoff contention per bad New Yorker.
Yeah, we'll see.
Ryan says Mike Evans isn't washed, but his QB blows.
which basically means that he is washed, man. Unless you end up in another team. I mean, he's not washed.
You can't be washed if you're a talent. Like, you're just because you're talented.
He's okay. Let me clarify here. He's not washed.
Are you saying Davante Adams is washed too?
He's not physically washed, but when you look at his numbers at the end of the year versus
he's
the last
have a
several
thousand
years,
yards receiving.
You're going to look at those numbers and say those are wash numbers.
1,000 yards,
even
receiving.
Though he's not like on the decline physically.
The problem with the Buccaneers is they're going to be a turnover prone team, and the team that's going to win out of this whole division is going to be the one that turns the ball over the least. You have Derek Carr playing in a dome throughout basically the entire
season.
Warm weather. And nice weather the whole time, which we know he sucks ass when in cold games.
Two domes.
No, he's playing in domes the whole day. The whole season he's in a dome. So Derek Carr playing in ideal conditions is actually a pretty decent quarterback and doesn't turn the ball over nearly as much as he does in cold weather. So, I mean, he doesn't worry about that. Once you get to the playoffs, I mean, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Exactly, Ryan. That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm not worried about playoffs. We're worried about your fantasy team. And what's going to make you, win your bet? So that's what I care about is wins and losses.
I'm worried about my fantasy team. I'm not going to touch Mike Evans.
I'm worried about your sports bets and your fantasy teams, not playoffs right now.
Before I go into it here on my team here, Matt New Yorker wants to know, would you have Keenan Allen or Mike Evans?
I would take Keenan Allen.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll take Mike Evans. No problem.
Why though? Like Justin Herbert.
He's gonna be the fourth.
Herbert is supposed to blow up this year.
He's supposed to blow up every year, and he blows up. He's fine. Justin Herbert's fine. I'm not worried about him.
It's all about the quarterback.
Baker and Trask.
It's all about the quarterback.
No, it's not. I hate to break it to you. Davante Adams is gonna have almost 1,000 yards.
Don't draft.
Evans is gonna have 1,000 yards.
Don't draft Mike Evans over Keenan Allen. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, I don't want Keenan Allen on my team. Anyways, guys, my guy, my team here for these easy money division winning bets here, who I like based on odds here, the Baltimore Ravens at plus 220 here. Lamar Jackson got his money out of the way. He's official. He's signed. Don't you worry about it. Zay Flowers is standing out in camp. The offensive line is healthy. Unknown on J.K. Dobbins, but who cares at this point? Because J.K. will be there, I think, week one still, no matter what. Defense is a little younger and a little better right now. Patrick Queen going into his contract year. This Ravens team, I think, has potential to win this division and take care of Cincinnati this year. Cincinnati being on a wild card this time, just due to the question marks on their defense right now. Jesse Bates gone. Can what's his face now? Just skip my mind, the safety. But anyways, can he turn into what, you know, he should be this year without Jesse Bates after playing a pretty decent level last year. So the pass rush is questionable there in the Bengals land. So give me Baltimore plus 220. You can get that at FanDuel, MGM, and DraftKings right now.
Yeah, I think that's a fair sleeper pick in that regard. Obviously, I think most people would say the Bengals just because of the Joe Burrow factor, but they're also ignoring that Lamar Jackson won MVP just 2 years ago.
I mean, if Joe Burrow, I hear, misses 3 weeks, first 3 weeks, like that's three.
Well,
games.
Sure. I mean, that would set him back without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. That would make an impact on the final, you know, win-loss record at the end of the year, which is what's going to win you your division. So, I could see it. I like the Ravens this year. I mean, they look good on paper. They got a lot of talent there. I hope J.K. Dobbins plays all season because I think he's an awesome talent. So, I could see it happening.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my team there. My other team I like to throw in there, of course, is the Jets at plus 270, just to contradict Jason here, because I think the Jets are the better team versus Miami, has a better chance, the better quarterback. And I think Garrett Wilson will kind of help prosper into that better wide receiver mode outside of Tyreek Hill. So I like New York. I like their defense. I like everything about them right now. So they have really high hopes, and hopefully Sean Payton's not right on the 8-8 mark.
We got a question from Ryan there again. I can't.
Ryan, all right, let's see here. You guys think the tightest division this year you guys think that's the tightest division this year for betting? Feel Baltimore, Cincy, or Pitt winning wouldn't be a major shock. It wouldn't. You know, you can throw the Browns in there, man. I don't think the Browns are far off from winning this division either.
See, I'm going with what Jason said. I like the AFC East to be the tightest.
I think that's the tightest.
You think that's the tightest? The tightest.
I think that what he just said is the least tightest, because if that Joe Burrow injury turns out to be basically nothing, then I don't think it's tight at all. I think the Bengals run away with it. But you throw in the injury factor. We don't really know how many games he's going to miss or if
sounds
if
like he's going to be ready week one is what everybody's saying.
I think the Bengals run away with it because they're a proven commodity.
Pittsburgh too high on their rankings at the moment. I know they have some talent that's young right now to work with. Kenny Pickett and Pickens are going to be great together. But I think right now when you're comparing Pittsburgh and you're going to say it out loud, Pittsburgh wins the division over the Bengals and the Ravens. That doesn't even sound.
I just don't see it.
Doesn't make any sense to me. It's a two team race in the AFC South. In the AFC North. To me, it's just between the Bengals and Ravens. To me, the Steelers are not really relevant yet this year.
If we look at the East and we look at the North here, I think the Patriots and the Bills will have a further gap between each other in for third and fourth place than you will see the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns.
Steelers might win eight or nine games. I could see 8 or 9 for the Steelers.
I think they win 9 or 10 at this point. I think you got the Browns, Cincy, and Baltimore all having playoff chances. And I think you only get one out of the East.
Would you say every team in the AFC East could win 11 games or more?
In the East? No. I think the Patriots are going to stink this year.
Sorry, not every team, but the top three teams.
I think the Bills win 9 games. I think they're under 10 this year.
Holy moly. They're under 11.
The Bills are under 11 this year.
Here's the thing. Nobody really gives a shit about the Patriots, okay? So when we're talking about how tight these fucking divisions
are. But you got four teams being tight versus three teams.
We only care about the top three.
Why are we excluding the Browns?
AFC East is Dolphins.
The Browns might be better than the Steelers this year.
The Browns will be better than the Steelers.
To me, it could be. To me, Dolphins, Jets, and Bills are going to be much, much tighter than Buffalo. With Cincinnati, the Ravens, and Pittsburgh. It's just going to be tighter.
I think it's a three-way tie for first place going into the final 2 weeks in the East and the North.
All right, Tane, if you say so.
Just saying.
If you say so. Are you also one of those Bronco believers? You think Sean Payton fixed them?
No, I think that's... I think it'll be better, but I'm not saying it's going to be.
You guys think the Raiders might actually finish as the worst team in the AFC this year, besides maybe the Texans?
No, I think the Colts. Next to the Colts.
Colts, Texans.
It's going to be the Colts, Raiders, and then.
It's all about Jimmy G, dude. If Jimmy G is healthy, man, is he like one of the most winningest quarterbacks in the history of the game?
Maybe with a certain 49er team.
If the guy doesn't get injured,
like Brock Purdy could just take over and go, you know, as far as he did, so.
Jimmy G, all I do is win, you know.
Like, yeah, gosh, guess what? When you go to the Raiders, when you go to the Raiders, you don't win anymore.
You might be right. You might. It's over. Right. It might be. It might be Colts, Raiders, and then Houston in this one. So.
It's like, I was thinking about that Willy Wonka. You lose. Good day, sir. That's Jimmy G going to the Raiders.
Yeah, the Colts are pathetic, man. They're trying to fire Jonathan Taylor, which is a fucking disaster.
And then we're going to see a Rosen thing happen with Anthony Richardson this upcoming year.
So. Why would you fire one of the best running backs?
80% winning percentage. So yeah, he does. Porn star Jimmy does have that. So while starting.
Right. He has. Well, always remember that stat when you think about the 49er Jimmy G compared to what's going to happen here with the Raiders.
It's going
to
be rough.
Let's come back to that fun stat. Like,
especially
that was
if Josh awesome Jacobs time. Is gone. Like, that's your offense from last year. So
yeah, that was an awesome time period for Mr. Jimmy. But good thing he's in Vegas. I mean, he still looks pretty handsome. So, yeah. I mean, he can have a lot of fun out there.
I think if I'm Jimmy G, I'm just going to get injured as fast as possible because I'm already known as one of the winningest quarterbacks in the history of the game.
That's true.
So why would you don't even show up?
That's it.
Right. Don't even fucking show up. So you don't want to hurt your record if you're Jimmy G.
So he'll finish top five all time in win percentage.
Yeah.
He does that. So you can always have that going for him, I guess. Anyways, yeah, we'll see about what Richardson. I think so. Yeah, Ryan's alluding to something that I definitely picked up on just going into the draft and all that.
55% of his passes.
I think it's going to be a big learning curve for Mr. Richardson. I think it's going to be a fun player to watch once he gets things figured out. But I mean, we saw the Justin Fields' first season with the Bears. I mean, it had some ugly moments, you guys. It was really, really bad. And this could be even worse.
Who the fuck is the running back if they don't have Jonathan Taylor?
Oh,
I mean, that's going to be a shit show.
No, it's not good right now. I mean, the Colts ownership is just stupid. I mean, I don't even know what else to say about them. They're just morons.
That was so bad.
It's bad
one,
stuff.
One fucking guy.
Yeah. I can't imagine sitting there trying to devalue JT like that. I mean, especially when he's the whole focal point of your offense. So,
Zach Moss broke his arm.
Yeah. Have fun.
So,
with that.
Rookie Evan Hole that you drafted in the fifth round. Jake Funk, Scott Xavier, Deion Jackson, and Toriano Clinton Jr.
And right now, JT is faking an injury for the record. But well, I don't blame. Oh, what do you mean? No. Yeah, he is. He's full of shit.
What's his injury?
It's like a hobble. I'm going to hobble around him, an old man injury.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
I just think.
I was about to say the report of his back was false because he came out and said that was false.
He's right now, like, not really practicing. He's there, so he doesn't
get
fined.
He's
just there, so he don't get fined.
Yeah.
But he's not really.
But
injured.
He's also on the punt.
He doesn't want to participate.
I just think it's a total overreaction on the part of the Colts ownership, because I think they're looking at the Giant situation and saying, okay, that's well, if they're not going to play Saquon, then that means Jonathan Taylor must be a fucking bum. So I'm not going to give him a dime either. It's just total overreaction. It's kind of, there's no leaders, no. You know, everybody's just fucking following each other and saying, oh, well, this guy didn't pay the running back, so I'm not going to pay the running back. And eventually I think that's going to turn around. And so the value will eventually come back for the running back position. But right now it's just knee-jerk reaction after knee-jerk reaction. These guys are all bums and we're not going to pay them.
Yeah.
And so it's just a fucking disaster.
Well, before we get out of here, guys, because we're approaching the hour mark here, Smoking Jeremy B out here says, with Detroit Lions, now that Dan Snyder's gone, who's the worst owner, Jerry Jones or Jim Irsay?
I mean, I just think recency wise, I'm going to go with Irsay. But Jerry Jones, I mean, is up there. He's been doing it for a little bit longer. You know, the problem with Jerry Jones is he wants to be so involved with every little thing with that team, and he is not the right guy to be trying to make all the decisions as an owner. I mean, imagine Clark Hunt trying to make all the football decisions for the Chiefs. He knows better. Clark Hunt's not a dumbass. Jerry Jones is. And so that's the difference.
Irsay's on his doorstep.
Well, I know.
Because I agree. He's the one who hired Jeff Saturday last year, too.
I think recency-wise, I'm going to say Jim Irsay. But all time wise, we got to go Jerry Jones.
I think you got Jones, Irsay, and Ross.
I disagree. Dolphins. I disagree. I think Jerry Jones is better than Irsay because Irsay essentially ruined a Hall of Famer.
We're talking about who's worse, not better. So we're both agreeing Irsay's worse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, Irsay is worse to me because he ruined the career of a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
And nobody else can say that.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck, Hall of Fame quarterback. If you look at his numbers, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Jim Irsay ruined his fucking career. So to
we
me,
made him want
to
quit.
He's a worse owner than Jerry Jones. I mean, it's kind of close there, but I would definitely say.
But if you think of the longevity of it all, I mean, Jerry's been doing this for a lot longer. So to me, it's like,
did he win a fucking Super Bowl?
Sure. So yeah, I mean, that's what I mean.
Yeah. That's what gives you that fucking separation is the fact that he won a fucking Super Bowl.
I guess Ursay did. Well, what year did Ursay become owner of the Colts?
What did he get? One? He got one?
He might have had one. Yeah, I think it was just one. Yeah, I think Ursay's worse. Just if you look at the way everything's have fallen apart.
Ursay is bad, dude.
Yeah,
he's bad. And he's just like, he's just kind of a I mean, they're both 1997.
97 is when Ursay joined with the Colts. So he did win one.
I think it's close. Definitely close between them.
I think
two.
This is like what happens with cognitive decline with guys. And that's what Jim Ursay is going through at the moment.
He's only 60 years old.
Yeah, but dude, you never know what
Jerry Jones is like 95 or 100, dude.
You never know what it's
Jim Ursay is like, what, 60? Look up his age, Tanner. He's like 62 years old. Jim Ursay is younger than you think. He's not getting dementia as fast as Jerry Jones.
Yeah, but how did it go from we never knew what you were doing?
64 for Jim Ursay.
Yes, sir. There you go. You're not going to get dementia at age 64. Meanwhile, Jerry Jones, he's had dementia for the last 10 fucking years, probably.
Yeah, but how is this happening? It's like Jerry Jones he's the Antonio Brown of owners for Jim Ursay. It's like he all of a sudden just went off the rails out of nowhere. Was it the cocaine? Like, what's going on to make him act the way he's acting? Something's happened.
Steven Ross with the Dolphins, 83, by the way, who lost his team multiple draft picks last year.
I think with Jerry Jones, it's more like if you think he's got dementia, that's one thing. But with Jim Ursay, that's you don't have that excuse. You're basically with Jim Ursay. He reminds me of Simple Jack.
Well, I was going to say
he's Simple Jack.
Have you guys seen Walk Hard at all? That's what I've been saying on
Walk Hard, the Rock movie.
No.
Walk Hard.
Isn't it Walk? The Huey Cox story.
Oh, I thought it was about The Rock.
No, it's the Huey Cox story. So basically it's like,
are you drunk, Tanner?
Johnny Cash is, the play fun. Oh, right?
Yeah.
The wrong kid
okay.
died. Well, I keep thinking that Jim Ursay walked into his office one day, opened the bathroom door, and there was the guys there saying, "Oh, Jim, you don't want this stuff. This stuff will make you go crazy. This stuff will make you feel all good. You don't want none of this, Jim." And Jim goes, "Oh, yes, I do." Just like Huey did. And he walks in. And he takes it, and then he starts tweeting after his Jonathan Taylor meeting like it was nothing. So that's exactly my representation of what happened on Saturday night.
I that's how it went down. Without a doubt. I mean, I could actually see that with going down. I mean, it's wild stuff going on with some of these owners. I think Twitter is kind of the downfall of a lot of these people, too.
It is, too.
They've been given a platform to just get out there and, you know, and I'm not going to lie. I'm not innocent. I've had my drunk tweets in the past. Or recently, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, I do that.
I've seen tweets from you. But I've seen other stuff.
I've had plenty of drunk tweets in the past, but I mean, never as an NFL owner, where I probably shouldn't be representing my organization in that way. I mean, that's a little different. I would say.
You never
have a burner account for that.
You never went full Simple Jack. That's what you're trying to say.
I try to avoid that.
Full Simple Jack.
Just have a burner account. And you can drunk tweet whatever you want. You know, then nobody cares. Get it out of your system.
Nobody can get you. So. Oh man. All right, guys.
Wrapping all right. Up. Yep. Well, I don't have much else to say today. We're going to be back, of course, next week on Wednesday. Hopefully the full crew again, back-to-back weeks. Wow. And we're going to have training camp. Because JG, you're going to be joining us, of course, right?
I will be there.
Training camp. So that means you can give us some insight of what you picked up on while we were out there. Just come back swinging.
Check out the Buffoons channel here. I'll upload my stuff here within the next day or two from this last Saturday. So guys, check it out. But also, I'll upload some clips as well that I have onto the Buffoon channel on Saturday as well when we get in service again. So
Tanner, I'll try to join you on your little fantasy nighttime thing you do.
Yeah.
Just, you know, makes me remind me of the old days watching you sit around in the dark talking football.
Well, so. I hate to break it to you, but it's like only my head again. You see,
that's what I want to see.
30 nights of fantasy, guys.
It's 1:30 a.m. He's on the couch. I mean, what could go wrong?
In a darkness, retreat. You were in a darkness retreat.
I was here, actually. So I glued my butt here for 6 hours because I was doing a show beforehand. So, you know, that's how it is.
Just keep your clothes on this time. And then we'll be good.
I don't promise anything this time.
it's live on YouTube. So, you know, things can go wrong. And we just don't want to have that happen.
As long as it's neck up, we're fine, right?
Yep. And don't show any toms. No soft tom or hard tom.
Soft tom or hard tom. That's right,
guys. Keep that on chat roulette only. So.
Woo! All right, guys.
All right. Well, I guess thank you guys so much for joining. And give us a follow if you haven't, of course. But I'll see y'all on the next one.
I'm outro. Fuck this shit.
See you guys.